Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, you can come on down. If you would like to bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend, if that makes you feel a little better about coming down, that is perfectly all right. When I was in first grade, my parents and I moved all the way from Tennessee across the entire country, almost, to Arizona. Now, it was a big change for me, and I had a hard time in that first grade. My first grade teacher in Tennessee was kind of like a grandmother in some ways. She was an older lady. She was very sweet. She just loved us all. And in those, in that classroom, she had two groups of people, students, who were readers. They were the Bluebirds and the Redbirds. One of the groups could read pretty well, and the other group struggled with reading and hadn't quite learned it yet. Now, I think she chose Bluebirds and Redbirds so she wouldn't be putting down or making fun of or judging the ones who couldn't read so well, but we knew which ones were which, believe me, even so. But she was trying her best to include everybody and make us all feel at home. Well, when I got to Arizona, I had a very different teacher who already had her favorites picked out, and we knew who was in and who was out, and I was out. I almost failed the first grade. Came very close to failing the first grade. Now, my second year in second grade, when I barely made it through, my teacher was wonderful. She had just graduated from the University of Arizona. She was young and energetic and excited and loved all of us. And she saw some things in me that my parents hadn't seen, that nobody else had seen. And she had me tested to see if I was gifted and maybe send me off to a school for gifted students. Well, I didn't go. But after that, I didn't know if I was a failure or if I was gifted, you know? And the truth is, we're kind of both, right? We all have gifts and we do things really well, but when you're learning to ride a bicycle, you don't learn immediately, at least I didn't. You fall over a few times. We all fail when we're learning something. When we're learning to walk, like some of these little ones, we fall down all the time. I still fall down all the time. I'm kind of clumsy. But St. Paul says that in the church, there are no failures. Everybody's gifted. You may just be learning how to live into your gift, but every single one of you has a gift that God has given you. And you may know what that is, or you may not know that yet. You may, as you grow up, learn that you have a number of different gifts that God has given you. But they're all to be shared with everybody so everybody can benefit. Everybody out there is gifted. Everyone in the church has a gift from God. And so what we are supposed to do is help you learn how to use that. Right? And that's what we're going to try to do. Now I'm going to talk a little more about those gifts from God and how St. Paul talked about them. And when I do, you will understand what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us gifts. Thank you for helping to use those gifts for others. Thank you that your love is the greatest gift of all, and that we want to be your loving light in the world, following the example that you gave us in Jesus. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. Paul is writing to a very cosmopolitan community in Corinth. It's a very diverse community. You have people from all over the world. You have people who formerly were Jews. You have people who formerly were Gentiles. I say formerly because, as you recall, Paul said, in Christ there are no Jews nor Gentiles, male nor female, slave nor free. He was inviting them into a community that was diverse, but in which everyone was the same or equal because of God's love for each of us. Now, that was not the way the world was around them, and unfortunately, the folks in Corinth kind of picked up those values from the world around them. And certain people in the church at Corinth who had certain spiritual gifts decided that those gifts made them superior to the other people who did not have those particular spiritual gifts. And so they started to create hierarchies of gifts. You know, my gift's better than your gift, and so I'm more important than you are. And so Paul is writing this letter into that kind of situation to remind folks that everyone is gifted. There are no distinctions, Jew, Greek, male, female, slave, free. Those have been erased by the love of God in Jesus Christ. And so we no longer live by those standards of the outside. Jesus did not come to make us feel superior to anyone else. We are gifted by the Spirit with certain gifts that then we are encouraged and allowed to use. And he uses, I'm not sure if he borrows this from the rhetoric around him or if he does this himself, creates it himself, but he uses what I think is just a moment of genius when he says it's like a body. This body of Christ is like a body. Now, you as an eye may think you're more important, but you try to pick up a pencil with your eye. You as a finger may think you're more important, but you try to see with a finger. If you're an eye, you're no more important than the finger. If you're a finger, you're no more important than the eye because each one depends on all the rest. The image of the body is a stroke of genius because every part depends on every other part in order to function the way it's supposed to function. And we who are getting up in years realize that every morning when we get up, don't we? Every part depends on every other part, and some of those parts are going to be hurting when you first get up and may hurt all day. And we recognize the importance of everything working together. That's the image that Paul is using to talk about how we work together, how everyone is welcomed, everyone is given a gift, and then our job is to figure out what that gift is and how to use it. In fact, in our welcome statement, we really just restate what Paul was saying. And I know you see it every week, but I'm going to read it to you because when you see something every week, sometimes you don't actually see it. You're so used to it. But it says this, everyone is welcome at West End. We seek to be the loving light of Christ in Nashville and beyond. We gather as the people of God with a wide range of religious backgrounds, education levels, political and theological perspectives, and we value that diversity. We welcome and celebrate the gifts God has given to all, without regard to gender, race, sexual orientation, economic or family status, ethnicity, or mental or physical capacity. We believe God loves everyone unconditionally. We believe that, not because we are so deserving of love, we're not, but because love is the very nature of God. God cannot help but love. It's who God is. And so, as we say this, we're simply restating what Paul was saying. In the world, Jews may think they're superior to Gentiles, and Gentiles may think they're superior to Jews, and men may think they're superior to women, and masters may think they're superior to slaves, but in the church, that is not the case. We are the gifted class. We welcome all and help identify those gifts. In fact, that's actually our primary job. We receive everyone exactly where they are. Doesn't matter whether you've been in church all your life or have never darkened the door of a church. Does not matter your background, your language of origin, any of those things I mentioned previously, you are welcomed because God's love is what welcomes you in this place. But You are welcome just as you are, but then you are confronted with the gospel. The gospel that says all of those distinctions that we make out in the world don't apply here. All of those superiorities and inferiorities that we see acted out in the world don't apply here. This is a new kind of community. It's a community built upon the love of God and the gifts of God, and every single person who comes is gifted. You are here because God knew that we knew needed your gift. You may not even know what that is yet, but God knew that we needed your gift to be a whole body of Christ. And so our job as a church is to welcome everyone where they are, but not to leave them where they are. But confronted with the gospel, to allow the love of God and the Spirit to transform us as individual and our lives together. We are here to help name and affirm those gifts that each person has. Now, your gift may be related to what you do for a living, but frequently it's not. You may be an attorney who really has a gift for serving. You may be a teacher who has a lot of knowledge, spend your days imparting that knowledge, but you may have a gift for sitting quietly and listening and making space for someone to come in and to tell you the deep truths of their lives. We don't often listen to each other in this culture, not really. We haphazardly listen, or we listen only to think about what we're going to say next, or we're listening only to make our argument in relation to what that person is saying. But true listening is simply making a space for another in our lives for them to be. That's a spiritual gift. And so our job here in church, once God sends you to us, is to help you identify that spiritual gift and then to cultivate that. For example, the folks in the choir may be gifted at music, but they also come and they rehearse to cultivate that gift. Some may be professional musicians, but many are not. This is a spiritual gift they share and work hard to cultivate so that we all can benefit and take that inspiration out into the world. I was about 25 years old when I took a class in graduate school from a woman named Barbara McDermott. In this class, almost in passing, Barbara said to me, "You know you're a storyteller, don't you?" I'd never thought about it. That's just the way my family talked. But once she identified that, that stuck with me, and I began to try to work at and cultivate those skills that went along with her naming that gift. And I've spent the rest of my life doing that. To be able to see each other and see the gifts in another person's life and to name that and then give them a place where they can let that gift grow, where we can live into it. And frankly, we're going to fail a lot along the way, but this is a place where it's safe to do that. Because you see, God's love does not depend on our succeeding. God's love depends on the very nature of God. Probably the best example I can think of recently of someone who has experienced that in a church setting is West End member and our dear friend and our staff member, Marty Gilbert, who died this past week, way too young. Marty began coming to West End because of what was a very modest gift to the feeding program at West Nashville United Methodist Church. He was involved in the Thursday evening program where folks who would not otherwise have a meal, folks who did not have a house to live in or a place to stay, could come and get a meal. They were struggling with that financially because we are a large and prosperous church. We were able to help out. And like I say, it was a very modest gift. But he was so impressed that a large, beautiful, affluent church like us would reach out to support the connection on Charlotte Avenue to make sure people who otherwise would go without were fed, that he began to attend here. And he began to hear the gospel. He was confronted. We accepted Marty just the way he was, but he was confronted with the gospel of God's love for everyone, and he took that in. He took that to heart. He thought that meant him, and you know what? It did. So he began to volunteer. He really found his way into the church on the fourth floor here in the four-story theater, where he became involved. He had been trained as an audio engineer. He had worked the CMA and lots of other big events. He had worked for years and years and years in those large venues, and he decided he wanted to help Kirk and all those other folks who were creating the four-story theater to make it as good as it could possibly be. At one point, one of his former employers from CMT said to him, "We've got all this equipment. It's in storage. We don't want to pay the storage fees. We're going to throw it out. Do you know anybody who could use it?" He happened to know someone who could use it. Us. And because of that, we received literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment donated to our theater program simply because these folks knew and trusted Marty that he would find a home for this equipment, which to them was outdated and they would no longer use. We have those speakers upstairs. We have the sound system we have. We have the part of the lighting system we have. We have the microphones upstairs because of Marty. But you know, I don't think that his greatest gift had anything to do with being an audio engineer. I think his greatest spiritual gift was that he was someone who encouraged other people constantly and had a generosity of spirit that seemed to be unbounded. When he came on staff here, he helped to videotape these services. Ordinarily on a Sunday, he would be sitting down the hall in that room videotaping these services. But if any of you have had memorial services since he came on board, you would have received a videotape of that service along with the audio of that service. It would have been edited. It would have been put together professionally. That was not part of his job description. It was his spiritual gift. It was part of his calling. You see, God gives gifts to each of us and then puts us in a place where we can exercise those gifts, where we can grow into them, and then share them and use them. That's what St. Paul is writing about. That's what our welcome statement is trying to say. That's what Marty lived out in this congregation. And so our question really is, how do we help you, if you haven't already, identify your spiritual gifts? How do we help you to find a way to grow in those gifts so that they can be shared not just here, but across the community, across the world? But it's not just true for lay folks. You see, when I came here, you received my spiritual gifts, and you gave me a place where I could grow in them. And that's true for every single staff person who has worked here. You embraced us with our gifts and our limitations, and you were able to help us to cultivate those gifts so that they could be more and more and more a gift, not just to you, but beyond the walls of this church. Now, you're going to be receiving two new staff people. Brandon and Carol are coming, and you're going to have an opportunity to receive their gifts. Some of those gifts will be very different from ours. Some will be very similar. I heard Carol Cavendillen at conference this past week give what is one of the best sermons I have ever heard in my life. That is not hyperbole. It was based in Scripture. It took a little different angle on the Scripture. It allowed for the vulnerability of the preacher. It was for the particular group that she was speaking to. It wasn't just a generic sermon that she had used somewhere else. It was one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. She has a gift for that, and you're going to be receiving that. But she'll be bringing other gifts too. But like all of us, she'll have her limitations as well. Brandon will be bringing certain gifts. He'll have his limitations. And you get to use your gifts in those areas where we have limitations. And together we become the body of Christ. One of us an eye, one of us a finger, one of us a toe, one of us a knee. Doesn't matter, because you see, we are all a part of the body of Christ, none superior to the other. And God will use you and Carol and Brandon and all of those staff persons who will be staying. And God will use me as I travel and Chris as he travels. Because you see, God's love is just that powerful. God's love is just that broad. God's Spirit is the one that gives the gift, which is what makes every gift good. Thanks be to God.